wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 12th day of September 2023. And indeed, this is The Voice. We're still the voice of the Christian resistance after all these years. And tonight, our producer is none other than Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And we have a special guest tonight, Brian Festa, and he is with We the Patriots USA. Hey, Brian. Are you there, Brian? Is Brian there? Well, okay, he's not here yet. Alrighty, and well, we have none other. Way out there, the Missouri Miracle, Pastor Joe Larson.
That's one way to put it. Or you could just call me your highly unpaid professional assistant.
All right. Let's get into the message, okay? To remember, the title of the message is Where is the...
The place where the light dwelleth.
Well, actually, where is the way where the light dwelleth?
Oh.
Where is the way where the light dwelleth? Okay. And so here, we're going to start, though, tonight by doing some commentary. So I'm going to do some commentary. And here, the strategy of Satan and those on the left. The strategy of Satan and those on the left. God, well, here, when... We take a look at what's happening today, and we realize that their strategy of the left was to get the world's population to doubt God's holy, sovereign, absolute, truthful nature. That's right. And so with the help of man's sin nature, that was fairly easy, except for those of us that resist him. And Joe, why don't you read James 4:7?
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Now, when the left strategizes, Joe, they conspire to demoralize and dishearten by continually trying to silence us and weaponizing the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the CDC, the FDA, etc., all against us. And I see here tonight how now it looks like they've really caught the CIA red-handed, paying huge amounts of money to people to lie about COVID.
Exactly. 6 out of 7 they had to buy off.
Yep. And so here now, They try to force their immorality, their abortion, their sodomy, their pedophilia, their drag queens, their transgenders, their whores. They continue to try to force all of that on us. Now, we have a two-edged sword, and that two-edged sword is the King James Bible. President Ronald Reagan said, "Indeed, it is an indisputable fact that all the complex and horrendous questions confronting us at home and around the world have their answer in that single book, the King James Bible."
Amen, and boy, was he right.
Yep. Then you have that...
That's something you said a minute ago. You and I have been listed for many, many years as enemies of the state. We've been called terrorists and everything else and been on the list because we were pro-God, pro-life, pro-gun, pro-constitution, so... We have been on many, many bad lists for a long time through the government and their cronies.
Well, you're absolutely right. We have been, and we have a lot of...
Just by the enemies we keep, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I tell you about how God is. We have to be thankful because a number of our contemporaries who have done a lot less... to aggravate the government are in prison or jail today. But, you know, with the corruption, we're the one thing that they hate is the truth, okay?
Amen, yeah.
And so here, Napoleon, you've heard of that fellow Napoleon?
Mm-hmm.
He liked to go to war. But here's what he said. He said the King James Bible, it's no mere book, but a living creature that conquers all that face it. Now, can you believe that? He said God's word, the Bible, is no mere book, but a living creature that conquers all that face it. He's a little smarter than we thought, isn't he?
Well, there were a lot of things. He was a little crazy, but he was also highly educated and well-read.
And then you
was reading some of the right material.
You've heard of that magazine, Remember Newsweek?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
long time ago.
On December 27th, I think Newsweek, I think it's still out there. I think they still print it, okay?
Oh, wow.
On December 27th, 1982, Newsweek wrote about the Bible. And here's what they said. How one book unites us, divides us, and still defines us. Mm-hmm. Well... Even Newsweek gets
it. Sounds like the Founding Fathers.
Yeah, it does. Now, he wasn't a Founding Father, but he was a mathematician and a very well-known scientist. His name was Peter Stoner. And Peter Stoner, he worked tirelessly, and boy, I read a lot of his work, volumes and volumes, of probability. He did the mathematics on probability of all these different things, and he took just 8 of 300 prophecies about the Lord Jesus that were fulfilled. 300 of them that were fulfilled, Joe. He took just 8 of them.
8, okay.
Yeah, now he said this, that this is not merely evidence. It is proof of the Bible's inspiration by God, proof definite that the universe is not large enough to hold the evidence, because with just 3 of those 8, or 8 of those 300, the odds, the mathematical odds that any of those could have been fulfilled were 18, were 1 with 18 zeros behind it. 1 with 18 zeros behind it.
That's a pretty big number.
Yeah, it is. And then let's start tonight with where we started today. Job chapter 38, verse 19.
Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof?
All right, now this was written 1,500 years, 15 BC, rather. Here. Now, this was, again, something that science didn't know, and that was that light continuously travels, okay? Light, and it doesn't dwell in one place. It travels. In fact, it travels at 186,000 miles a second.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah, and so here, instead of saying where light dwells, now he says where light, again, I'll read it. Where is the way where light dwelleth? Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? So darkness appears only where there's an absence of light.
Light.
And it has a
like
dwelling
some
place.
Like human hearts.
Yeah. But light does not have a place. It has a way. It's a continually traveling. And so Einstein discovered that in our lifetime, in fact. And, you know, it was an interesting thing because where it comes to theories, Einstein, when they were asking him about his theories, he said, God does not have to theorize. God never has to theorize. He already knows the answers. And so let's go over to Luke chapter 17 and read verses 30 through 36.
30 through 36.
Mm-hmm.
Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he shall be upon the household, and his stuff in the house. Let him not come down to take it away, and that he is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife? Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in the night there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken, the other be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in one field, and one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together.
All right. So this, he's describing a particular event. Do you know what that event is?
Sounds a little like the rapture.
Yeah. Now, he's saying something here. And what he is saying is that in one day, when this takes place, when he says that in that day which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return. So he's talking about here in the daytime. Right. And then he says, remember Lot's wife, okay?
Who turned back when she was told not to, right?
Right. And then he says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you in that night there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken and the other left. I tell you, two women shall be grinding together. One shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. So he's telling you that at that time of the rapture, in one place of the earth, it's going to be during the day, and it's going to be in the morning where the women are grinding, in another place on the earth. It's going to be in the afternoon where you go in another place of the earth where you have two men in the field. And then it's going to be a nighttime in another place of the earth where you have two men in a bed.
So in other words, she's coming at one time to take all, regardless of where on earth they are. They will all be taken at once.
Yeah, but the point that he's making here, Joe, is that this describes the fact, again, Joe, that the earth is round. The earth
exactly.
is round, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That because now, in fact, let's go a little farther on that.
Well, back in Job, isn't it Job where he said the earth is like a ball hung?
Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 40.
Isaiah 40.
In Isaiah 40, we read verses 22.
Okay, 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in.
Okay,
circle
now.
Circle of the earth.
How did Isaiah know in 700 B.C. that the earth was round? 2,000 years.
God told him.
2,000 years before Magellan sailed around the world and returned to exactly where he started. Now, that was interesting because I'd say, well, Magellan never really finished the trip. No, but his ship did, okay?
Yeah.
And so now I have a number of people that I know that are flat earthers, and I'm not kidding you. I know several that are flat earthers. And every now and then a little argument will develop between the flat earthers and the round earthers. But I settled it. I settled the whole argument. Okay, and here's what I did. I took a silver dollar, and a silver dollar is both round and flat. And so what I did is I put Magellan right on the edge of that silver dollar and let him sail all the way around the edge, see?
Mm-hmm.
So then that satisfied both sides. What do you think?
Pretty bright.
All
Isn't
right.
there someplace, too, where it referred to like a ball hanging?
Let's go to Job 26 and maybe verse 10.
Thank you. Job 26:10. A little slow on that one. 26:10. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end.
Okay. Now, that word compass in the Hebrew is kug. It's spelled K-H-U-G, kug. And it's it means circle. It means circle. So read that again.
He that circled the waters.
He that circled the waters. Mm-hmm. And then go to Proverbs 8 and read verse 27. Proverbs 8, verse 27.
When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth.
All right. When he did what?
Prepared the heavens.
He placed a what?
A compass upon the face of the depth.
That word compass is the same word. It's used. It's hug. A K-H-U-G.
A circle.
Right. He placed a circle. Now, if you ever, now you see, remember, all of these things were done thousands of years ago before Magellan ever sailed around the world. And that, in those days when these things were written, you know, the whole world believed that the earth was flat. But God knew it wasn't because he made it, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Did you know who William Harvey was?
He did. Hmm?
Do you know who William Harvey was? William Harvey was a scientist, and he discovered something, and what he discovered was that the blood carries the nutrients and the vitamins and that throughout the body to keep the life in the body. Would you go to Leviticus 17 and read verses 10 and 11?
Leviticus 17, 10 and 11. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul.
Okay. And then, so he's telling you that the life is in the blood. Now, again, this is in Leviticus. it wasn't until the early 1900s that a man named Dr. Lester discovered that the blood provides what all the body's immune system, so...
And carries the food and oxygen, and, you know, without it, there's no body.
That's right. Now, here, and another great scene, all of this stuff was in the Bible. The Bible, you know, is a book that is light years ahead. I mean, look, see, both people still don't understand, you know, we'll never catch up, not on this world, with the Word of God, okay?
Well, Job, it talks about the water cycle, about how the, you know, the water evaporates, and the main, greenhouse gases, water vapor that creates the clouds and brings the rain. So he explained one of the systems on the earth clear back then.
Well, absolutely.
The foggiest idea, yeah.
Okay. And then here, if we go over to Leviticus chapter 15, and read me verse 13.
15:13. And when he hath said an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in the running water, and shall be clean.
All right, so to bathe his clothes and wash his flesh in running water, okay, now, it wasn't, Joe, until the 1800s. It wasn't until the 1800s that doctors understood, because up until that time, they would have a big bowl of water, and they would be working and doing, and they would dip their hands in that water, but it wasn't until the 1800s, okay, that they realized what God's Word, the Bible, said thousands of years earlier, that that when you did that, you ended up with a little bowl of germs. It was nothing but a bowl of germs, okay, of infectious germs. So, but God's Word, the Bible, had that thousands of years earlier. And then here, there was a guy named Robert Ingersoll. He was the famous agnostic. And he once held up the Bible, Joe, and he said, in 15 years, I'll have this book in the morgue. Well, guess what, Joe? Exactly 15 years later, Ingersoll was in the morgue.
Bible's still the best-selling book in the world.
Right. And you've heard of that fellow named Voltaire?
Yeah, oh yes. I read some of his nonsense.
Well, he was the famous French philosopher of the 18th century. He said in 100 years, the Bible would be forgotten and obsolete and found only in museums. In less than 50 years, Voltaire was dead. The Bible was still alive. And they used the Geneva Bible Society, bought Voltaire's house, and used it for printing the Bible.
Bible. I was going to say, that one I knew. They used his house. I thought, what wonderful, wonderful irony.
And let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and just read verses 22 through 25.
First Peter 1, what?
22 through 25.
Okay. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
All right, we've got a message from quite a patriot here. And then we come back, we're going to have with us Brian Festa, and he is with We the Patriots USA. So go ahead and take it away, Style.
Thank you for taking the time to review our message. I'm Douglas McGregor, the Chief Executive Officer of Our Country, Our Choice, a nonpartisan organization that promotes traditional conservative values in American government, as well as prosperity at home and peace abroad. I'm speaking to you today because America confronts its biggest crisis since World War II. However, this time, the existential threats to the American people are not thousands of miles away on some foreign battlefield. The threats are here at home. Some call the threat the deep state. Others point to the swamp. Regardless of what we call them, the threats from political corruption, deceit, and the collapse of integrity in American government are real. Our country, our choice, consists of Americans like you, people who know the swamp in Washington, D.C. is too deep and too wide for any one man or woman to drain. Our country, our choice, is building the platform and the tools Americans need to drain the swamp. We are launching our service in the fall, and our service is free. Our country is in free fall. It's time to fight back. Americans' traditional values of God, country, and family are under attack. If you love our country, please join us. Our country needs you. Together, we can change the destiny of our nation. Let us show you how. Email us at ourcountryourchoice.com. Thank you, and God bless you and your family.
All right, there's some good news. The good news is out there. Like tonight, folks, I was out to the Tea Party with the Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee out there, folks. And I'm going to tell you, I'm seeing people, the patriots are waking. They're waking up. And we have one of those patriots that's waking up right here with us tonight, Brian Festa. And he is with We, the Patriots USA. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Pastor Sanders, thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being here, and thanks for all that you do. And tell us, you've got some things happening right here in Ohio. In fact, you're actually was from Ohio here, and you've got some things happening down in East Palestine, don't you?
Yeah, well, I'm an Ohioan by marriage, I guess, because my wife is from the Cleveland area. So, yeah, so we love the people of Ohio, and we filed a lawsuit earlier this year after the train derailment in East Palestine because we recognized very quickly that things just weren't adding up there. And we saw that, we have working for us one of the leading toxicologists, industrial hygienists in the country, Kristen Megan Kelly. She actually is one of our podcast hosts. She hosts a show called Vets and Visionaries with Kristen Megan, which is on our network at WeThePatriotsUSA.org. So anyway, she reached out to us, and we were talking with her about it, saying, this doesn't look right, Kristen. And sure enough, she got there. She went there, Kristen and her friend and colleague, Tammy Clark, who's also an expert in this field, went out there and investigated. And then others who were working with us on the ground had gone in and been taking, water samples, soil samples, and testing this, and found that what the government said about the level of toxins in that environment was very, very deceiving. They have said that it was almost immediately, they said it was safe to breathe the air, drink the water, go outside, take your babies outside, pregnant women, you're fine. Now, keep in mind, these are the same people that during COVID were making us all mask up, locked down, can't go to church, can't do anything. And yet now, even though the mask didn't do anything, and now when you had this plume of black smoke and toxic chemicals in the air, benzenes, everything else that had been proven to be toxic and carcinogenic, they were saying, go ahead, breathe it. Don't, you don't have to worry.
Let me interrupt for just a second here, because I've been watching this stuff and for years, and there is definitely a very satanic presence in a lot of this. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. If you go back to Ruby Ridge, where they wanted to burn out Randy Weaver, where they shot Vicky. They were going to pour airplane fuel in that cabin and burn him out.
Called it a fortress, not a cabin.
Yep. but it was stopped because of this radio program right here. That's a long story, but because of this radio program, because we had people on the mountain, and they were giving us a blow-by-blow description, and we were talking about it, and when Jack McLam and Bo Greitz were down there talking to the feds, a guy came up and said, there's some guy in Cleveland, he's telling the entire country what we're doing here, and they pulled the helicopter off. Then you go to Waco, and by the way, the same guy that shot Vicky in the head, one of the dirty, dirty, dirty cops was there at Waco, where when they burnt the place down and little children come running out of the fire, they shot them like rats, okay?
Didn't he get promoted, too?
Yeah, he did. He got promoted for doing that, okay?
Yeah.
For murdering Vicky. And then if you go what we just saw recently in Maui, okay, they really like to burn things. But then again, if you go over to January 6th, where they were murdering the Patriots, there's something very, very demonic, and you know, here too, in that area there in East Palestine, the voting, they voted about 90% for Trump. Do you think that has a little bit to do with why, you know, they did what they did? They set the fire, burnt, and all of that?
Well, it's entirely possible. You know, there's a war, and it's not left versus right. It's good versus evil. You know that, or should I say evil versus good? Because you know which side the left usually hangs with. But listen, we got evil people on both sides of the aisle. There's only ultimately, you know, there's only one man that can save us, and his name is Jesus Christ.
So. Yeah, but actually, he told you in Matthew chapter 25, those on the left will inherit the lake of fire, and those on the right, okay? So, by his definition, in fact, he gives you three examples in the Bible of that, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. But anyway, you know, in East Palestine, we have people that became very sick very quickly. You know, they could feel the burning in the throats. And actually, Kristen and Tammy, the ones that we sent out there, we did a press conference after we filed our federal lawsuit against the United States EPA, the Ohio EPA, and Governor DeWine, because they were all lying to the people. So they went out there. They went to, you know, in the pouring rain that day to East Palestine, and even in the pouring rain that was a month after this had happened, immediately when they got into the community, they could feel the burning in their throats, the tears in their eyes, and they started feeling sick, nauseous, everything. So it was very clear, even before they did the sampling, that something was not right, and they videotaped this. This is actually in one of her episodes on Vets and Visionaries. It's up on our website, WeThePatriotsUSA.org. You can see they did a little mini documentary almost on just impromptu and went out there and met with some of the residents there, and we saw very quickly what was going on. So we have this federal lawsuit. It's still proceeding through. Obviously, the state has filed a motion to dismiss to try to get it thrown out. That hasn't happened, but they're trying to do it. And it's in the district court in Ohio. We filed it, and we had the press conference up in Akron that day after we filed it. So that was back in March. So litigation, you know, the wheels of justice move slowly. So obviously we don't have a result yet, but we're the only organization in the United States that filed a lawsuit against the state of Ohio, the governor, and the United States EPA. Because we want to hold them accountable. There's lots of lawsuits that have been filed over this, but they've all been filed against Norfolk Southern because, you know, obviously that's where you get the big money judgments, and I get it. But we're more interested in holding the people that are supposed to be serving us and protecting us accountable. And actually, that's the doctrine under which we filed this, is a state-created danger doctrine. It's recognized in the Sixth Circuit, which is where Ohio is, obviously. And it's when, you know, the state goes so far that they've actually created a danger to the public, to public health themselves, that they can be held accountable and sued for that. And so that's the legal theory under which we brought this.
I mean, I can't believe that they thought that they could burn that without the fumes. I mean, You know, even in the military where you had to go out and you had to burn the waste, the fire cans, you know, how many people got sick, how many people today, and they knew that, you know, veterans were sick by the chemicals, the smoke that came off of that, and then to know that to set those toxic things on fire, that seems to be, it seems to be, you know, purposely that you know, wanting to hurt and destroy people. I mean, I don't know. It's not rational.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at what's happened. The government's done this before. They've covered it up before. They've lied to people before, even though they were getting sick and dying. They did it to African-Americans, the Tuskegee experiment with, you know, forcing them to get vaccinated and really poisoning them seriously, telling them that they were curing them when they were actually giving them a disease. And just letting it, syphilis, and just letting it run rampant through them, telling them that they were, even they really weren't. So the government's experiments on humans, we've seen it before in the 1960s. The CIA did it with LSD. They were dropping LSD. They'd go into bars, drop LSD into people's drinks, then hide in the bushes and watch them conducting experiments on humans. That's confirmed. That's been released, declassified. That's confirmed that the government did that. And then Camp Lejeune. You know, they knew that those soldiers, all those military families living there were all poisoned. And, you know, they for decades afterwards, they were, you know, getting cancer, dying, everything. And they just covered it all up. And finally, now Congress has allowed. That's why you see all those commercials now from lawyers looking for Camp Lejeune class action. You know, they finally opened the door for a suit against the government because that has to be, you know, done by Congress. So now, you know, they've lifted their immunity and now they can be sued. But it took. How many years? 75 years or something? I mean, or 60 years? I mean, it's ridiculous how long it took for people to get justice. Well, we're not waiting 60, 70 years. These people don't have that long. These people are so sick. This is the worst, in my opinion. I'm not a scientist. I'm not claiming to be one. But in my opinion, based on the information that I have, this is one of, if not the worst, chemical disaster on American soil. You know, that either in our lifetimes or possibly even in history, because it went downstream. It went downstream. It didn't just stay in East Palestine. It went downstream. It went to, you know, all the way as far as into Pennsylvania. And there were people on the East Coast after it happened. Back in Connecticut, where I'm originally from, I had reports of all the sludge was on their cars. They had a rain like they've never had before, weird chemical smell in the air, and then they were trying to clean sludge off their cars in Connecticut. That was just shortly after this happened. So it got into the air. That plume of smoke got into the air, and then the jet stream, of course, carried it even into the Northeast. So people have been poisoned by this that don't even realize they've been poisoned. We're exposing it. Millions of lives have been placed at risk. Now you're not downstream if you're up, you know, Northeast or you're up in Ohio, so you might be okay. But we have to pray for these people first and foremost. But then after, you know, we pray for them, we got to fight this out in court to try to get justice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But let me ask you this, too. What about, when are we going to go after Fauci? I mean, Phil Fauci he's killed, you know, experimented on children. He's put that poison, the poison pokes out. He's killed people in so many different ways. This guy is a mass murderer. When are we going to go after him?
Well, you know, there are people that have been trying to do that. You know, he has a lot of protection around him. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we're not. Here's the thing. He needs to be prosecuted. That can only be done by a prosecutor, you know, a district attorney. You know, those are the people that can prosecute. He needs to be in handcuffs. Never mind a civil suit. You know, he needs to be in jail. I agree with you. Everything that he's done is downright criminal, experimenting people, covering things up, lying to the American people, and, you know, forcibly poisoning them. You know, absolutely, he does need to be held accountable, but that's going to be up to the prosecutors. We need to elect better people. You know, that's something I say as a private citizen, as a 501c3. We don't get involved in political lobbying or anything like that, but You know, as a private citizen, I certainly say, you know, it's up to the people in each state, in Ohio and everywhere else, to elect better people to fill these positions, because they're corrupt. When you talk about draining the swamp, you were just mentioning that, you know, before I came on. And, you know, that's why President Trump was saying that, and that's what he ran on. It didn't happen yet. We're far way off from it.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Are you aware of the doctrine of the lesser magistrate?
The lesser magistrate.
Yeah, the Bible clearly teaches that if a magistrate is corrupt, then those underneath him, okay, need to take him to justice, to bring justice. Where you have corrupt magistrates, even that works in the military, where they're giving you orders that are, you know, as illegal orders, and there comes a point you have to decide to go ahead. It's called the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. It's from, you know, you find it all the way, starting with Shifra and Pua in the Bible, where these were two women who the government instructed them to kill all the male babies born, and they didn't. Even though they were employed by the government, okay, they refused. They obeyed God first. Now, here we have people like Merrick Garland, who is completely corrupted. Merrick Garland he would be very, very hard-pressed, very hard-pressed to find someone as corrupt as himself to prosecute. And then you have Christopher Wray, the FBI, the same thing. These people have committed high treason against the American people. And so are we going to have to result to the policy of the lesser magistrate to take these people to justice?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, that's biblical, and unfortunately, the law in this country often doesn't follow the Bible. There is a policy, there is a process to impeach these people if they're not fulfilling their duties of office, whether it be a judge, magistrate, whether it be a prosecutor, or a bureaucrat, you know, the heads of these agencies, the DOJ, whatever. There is a process of impeachment. You know, Congress has to do that. But unfortunately, again, we don't have the right people in there to do that. So I don't really know how we could get that done. You know, I can't bring a lawsuit to get someone thrown out of office. They don't, you know, that's not how it works. That's not the mechanism we have in our Constitution for removing people.
There is a way. It's called tactical civics, tactical civics. This is one of the things that we're doing here. And it's worked, like, right now in 700 counties in our country. Tactical civics, basically what it does, it teaches citizens like you and I to convene a grand jury. Within the law, within the legal limits of the law, we convene a grand jury, and then that is the highest law in that court, okay? And that brings the corrupt officials. We can indict the corrupt officials, and that is happening more and more, and we're working on that here. In fact, we're going to be having some meetings in the very near future at Doers of the Word Baptist Church and that. But that's one of the
God bless you. You take on the criminal stuff. We don't get involved in that here because we're more on the civil side with holding them accountable, you know, civilly in court. We take cases to the Supreme Court, and actually we've got a couple that are geared up that I'd like to talk to you about that are really close to getting to that level. So, you know, if you have a minute, I'll tell you about it.
We have a whole hour. We want to hear about it.
All right. So we've got a couple of cases. One right now, you mentioned Fauci. We talked about vaccines a little bit. State of Connecticut is another tyrant for you. Governor Ned Lamont, back in April of 2021, he signed into law a repeal of the religious exemption to childhood vaccinations required for school attendance. As you know, in every state, there are required immunizations that children have to get when they go to school. But most states, like Ohio, have religious exemptions. You can claim a religious exemption. You don't have to get, you know, one or more or any of them. You know, certain ones that you might have, you know, like, they're developed using aborted fetal cells, the issue, and cell lines, and so there's various objections people have to receiving these into their body. That's honored in most states, but not in Connecticut, not in New York, not in California, not in Maine, not in West Virginia, believe it or not. They've never had one. But California, New York, Connecticut, and Maine repealed them. And Connecticut was the most recent one to do it in 2021. Well, I was in Connecticut at the time. We rallied. We had 7,000 people at the Capitol. We had, Robert Kennedy Jr. We had all kinds of people come and, testify and protest that. And so that happened, but yet they still passed it. They ignored the will of the people. These communists just push it through. And so then 2 days later, after it was signed into law, we held a press. Actually, that afternoon that it was signed into law, we held a press conference on the steps of the Connecticut Supreme Court stating that we were going to be filing a federal lawsuit against the governor and the state of Connecticut for signing this unconstitutional bill into law, taking away the First Amendment rights of religious freedom from the people. So we, within 2 days of that press conference, within 2 days of Governor Lamont signing it into law, we had filed that federal lawsuit. And it went up. Unfortunately, the district court dismissed it, which we weren't surprised by that. And then the Second Circuit affirmed that dismissal. We weren't surprised by that because we said in our press conference, we won't win this at the district level or the Second Circuit. We're going to have to go to the Supreme Court to win this. And so right now, we are poised. We are preparing a cert petition, they call it. That's an appeal to the United States Supreme Court of the Second Circuit's decision. Now we think there's a very good chance that they will take this up. We don't speak for the justices, of course, but we think there's a good chance. And why do we think there's a good chance? Because there's several reasons, but one of which is Judge Bianco, who was even more recent appointee, he was appointed by President Trump to the Second Circuit. He was on the three-judge panel that heard our case at the Second Circuit. He wrote a scathing dissent against the majority that ruled against us and said that they got it wrong. They should have sided with us and laid out a beautiful legal argument as to why we were correct. This was a violation of the First Amendment and 14th Amendment rights, our rights to religious liberty, our rights of equal protection under the law. He wrote a beautiful dissent, and that will be taken very seriously. He's a well-respected judge, and the justices at the Supreme Court who see that dissent, they're going to read it before they make a decision whether to take this up. Now, we only need four justices to take this up. And why is this case so important? So only four have to vote to take it up. Why is this case so important? Well, this case is monumental importance because if they rule in our favor, religious exemptions would be preserved in every state in the country and restored in every state where they've been lost, like California, New York, Maine, Connecticut, and West Virginia, where they never had them. And that would be permanent, that every school forever would have to allow religious exemptions. But it goes even beyond just school attendance. What that decision would be is preserving our religious liberty to object on the basis of our religious beliefs to any government intrusion or intervention trying to force any kind of medical procedure, whether it be a vaccine mandate or any mask mandate or anything else, that we would have the right to object on religious grounds. And, they couldn't exercise their so-called police power to take that away from us, which is what they do because of a flawed decision called Jacobson versus Massachusetts from 1905, which needs to either be overruled or greatly narrowed. And that's what we'll be asking the court to do if they take up our appeal. Now, again, we need all the support. We need prayers for this because this is a huge case. And honestly, it's going to change the landscape, the legal landscape in this country for religious liberty, maybe forever, but at least for decades to come. So it's very, very important that people support this. If anyone wants to support our legal work, they can go to WeThePatriotsUSA.org. We are a nonprofit public interest law firm, which means we don't charge any legal fees for any of our work to our clients. It's all pro bono. But the only way we're able to do that, the only reason we're able to do that, is we have the support of generous donors who either are monthly donors to us or, you can give a one-time donation. You can donate online. You can donate by check. It's all explained there if you click donate at the top of our homepage. But that's just one lawsuit. We've got an even more immediate one that's going to be taking place tomorrow, actually. There's going to be a hearing in New Mexico. And that's for Second Amendment rights. Michelle Lujan
Brian
Griffin. Yes.
Can I ask, before you go on to the next case,
How often are these liberal courts, these lower courts, overturned? What kind of are there any percentages? Like, I know the most extreme liberal court gets overturned, what, 8 out of 10 times, something like that. What?
That's the Ninth Circuit.
Are you in one of the real liberal courts or a moderate?
Yeah, so Second Circuit is considered, again, I don't like to label courts as liberal or conservative or left or right, Democrat or Republican, but if you're just because, remember, these federal judges are appointed by the President of the United States, and so many of them, even in the liberal, what are so-called liberal circuits, Second Circuit, Ninth Circuit, there are many Trump appointees in there. They're not all. Mm-hmm. They're not all Obama judges and Biden judges. So that's why, you know, that's the great thing about the federal judiciary. That's why we like federal lawsuits. You go to state court and they're all appointed by the local governor or they're elected. But you go to federal court, they're all appointed by the president, whoever that president happens to be. Trump appointed even, I think, 2 or 3 times as many judges as Obama did. So we have a fair shake. But here's the thing. Yes. Ninth Circuit, which historically has ruled on the liberal side very heavily, is overturned more than any other circuit. The Supreme Court always does. The Second Circuit is very much like the Ninth Circuit. They follow the Ninth Circuit's lead on a lot of things. And so there's a very good, I think there's a great chance this will be overturned. The current composition of this Supreme Court is very, very favorable to religious liberty. You look at the case. The Kennedy versus Bremerton School District out of Washington State with the coach praying on the sideline. That was a case that was decided, just this year, and it was in favor of the coach. And then we had, before that, in the same term, the Maine decision, the school choice decision out of Maine, which is very similar to this case in a lot of ways, because they were favoring secular schools over religious schools. So what the state of Maine did is said, okay, we'll give you school choice, which means we give you parents a voucher, essentially, to send your kid to private school if you don't want to send them to public school. But we're only going to give that voucher for secular private schools, not religious schools.
That's where the case came in, yeah.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court said no. I said, absolutely not. You're violating the First Amendment. You absolutely cannot give preference to secular over religious. And what is the state of Connecticut doing in all these states that have repealed the religious exemption to vaccination? Same thing. We'll give you a medical exemption. If you have a medical reason, which is secular in nature, if you have a medical reason for not being vaccinated, fine. But if you assert a religious objection, no, we're not going to give it to you. So we think we have a very strong case of getting this overturned by the Supreme Court. And that's why we need your prayers, your support, if you can give it financially. And you know, we all need to band together in this, because it's not just we, the Patriots USA. It's not just Alliance Defending Freedom or Liberty Council. Those are all great organizations, but they can't do it without the support of people, of ordinary, everyday, God-fearing Americans coming together. That's how this happens. I don't have any, I don't have any angel investor coming in behind me. I don't have a Bill Gates or George Soros, and, I'm glad I don't. I don't want their money. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have a billionaire backing me, but the other side does. The other side has people like that funneling them untold, hundreds of millions of dollars into these leftist organizations. And this lawfare, as they call it, has been waived.
All right, fellas, we're coming up to a break. So when we come back from the break, we're going to pick it up on the other side, because, boy, I have a lot of questions there for Brian. And, again, we have Brian Festa from WeThePatriotsUSA.org, and they could use your help. We'll be right back with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.